If you're old enough, I want you to remember the last time that gasoline prices constantly dominated the headlines. That time would be just about any day you wanted to choose in the 1970s. Do you remember the long lines at service stations? Wasn't that fun? Do you remember the 10-gallon purchase limits, the odd and even days based on the last digit of your license plate number? Remember all of that? The big news in the 1970s wasn't that gasoline prices were high. They were. The big news, though, was that gasoline wasn't available at any price. And we all sat in long lines at gasoline stations instead of working or shopping or being with our families. The entire episode tanked the economy. Ask just about anyone from that era what happened, and they'll tell you that gasoline prices were the result of the Arab oil embargo. They would be wrong. Economically speaking, the Arab oil embargo was a non-event. OPEC didn't embargo the United States. What OPEC did was vow to reduce oil production by 5% each month until the U.S. withdrew its support for the State of Israel. The fact was then, and is now, that the market for oil is worldwide. Once the product is loaded on a tanker, the producer has no control over where the tanker goes. The impact of the 1973 OPEC production cuts on world markets was trivial. Gasoline came to be in short supply because of wage and price controls imposed under the Nixon administration in 1971, the effect of which prevented oil companies from passing on the full cost of imported crude to consumers at the pump. In the face of increasing world oil prices, so-called big oil acted rationally. It cut back on imports and stopped selling gasoline to independent service stations to keep its own branded retailers supplied. By May of 1973, 5 months before the embargo, about 1,000 service stations had shut down for lack of fuel. By June, companies in many parts of the country began limiting the amount of gasoline motorists could purchase per transaction. All of this led to the Emergency Petroleum Allocation Act of 1973, which made things worse. The act mandated that supply reductions had to be shared equally between branded and independent retailers. It also mandated a 5% supply set-aside to be allocated at the discretion of state governors, further tightening an already tight supply. Now, I bring all this up because there's a lesson in it. On January 28, 1981, just 8 days after taking office, Ronald Reagan issued Executive Order No. 12287, effectively rescinding the Emergency Petroleum Allocation Act of 1973. The next day, he issued Executive Order No. 12288, putting the final nail in the coffin on Nixon's wage and price controls. Almost immediately, gasoline shortages ended, and we've had plenty of gasoline since. And yes, today's price is high. But adjusted for inflation, it's only just now reaching the levels it did at its peak in the 1970s. So what's the lesson? Keep the government out of markets. Government intervention in the free flow of goods and capital will make things worse every time. The best way to get rid of high prices is to have high prices. The market will react by reducing demand, putting downward pressure on the price. Even though it doesn't feel like it, that's happening right now. And you'll see the effect in the months to come. I say all of this as a warning in this election year. Listen to the candidates, and yes, I mean most particularly Clinton and Obama, and you'll hear them saying that they're going to mount some government initiative to reduce gasoline prices, and oh yeah, they're going to also solve the mortgage crisis. Be very afraid. I've said it before, just like with gasoline, if you let the government start interfering with the free market decisions of lenders, you're going to see credit, like gasoline, dry up. Then we're in real trouble. The market will resolve high gasoline prices, and the market will resolve the mortgage market mess. Let it do so, and don't listen to the pandering of the candidates, or you will be sorry. That's my word. What's yours? Go to ktbb.com/youtellme, and you tell me. To my great regret, I missed the Vintner's dinner evening before last at Keepers Hall Estates. It was a wine and dining event featuring K.E. Sellers wines and a price-fixed Italian cuisine dinner. One of the things they previewed was the K.E. Sellers 2007 Simeon. The Simeon grape is a hardy grape that resists frost and disease. It makes a rich aromatic wine that goes very well with fish and meat. It's also a very refreshing wine to sip as the weather gets warmer. It's not in the stores at K.E. Sellers yet, but it will be soon. And I tell you this because it illustrates the fact that if you like a glass of wine with dinner or relaxing in the evening, K.E. Sellers is on the job today, right now. It's Friday. It promises to be a very nice weekend. A good use of your time would be to stop at K.E. Sellers on the way home. Try anything before you buy it. You can't make a mistake. K.E. Sellers in the French Quarter on South Broadway, across from the mall, and online at kesellers.com.